ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hello, it's Dr. Daria. I am so excited about this segment. I am here with Chef Kevin Gillespie, Georgia native, James Beard Award finalist, and former Top Chef contestant and fan favorite. Chef Gillespie's cookbook, Fire in My Belly, and his newest one, Pure Pork Awesomeness, both have a ton of great recipes that would make any July 4th cookout amazing. But he's also here to help us give some health information to make our barbecue a little bit healthier while also delicious. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so excited. All of us are going to be grilling this weekend, and barbecue is traditionally thought of as a less healthy meal option. Can you describe some recipes that could be maybe a slightly healthier version?
Well, you know, barbecue doesn't have to be unhealthy. I think it's a little bit of a misconception. Actually, grilling and smoking are inherently very healthy options, considering the very low amount of fat that's used in preparing them and relying on that sort of smoky flavor to bring a lot of nuance to the cuisine. And so more than anything, it's about rethinking the protein that's going to go on the grill and that you're going to cook. Some things are better than others.
So that's a really good point, because you don't necessarily have to add a lot of added fat and flavors to it. The smoke gives it.
Exactly. A lot of people rely on sugars and so many other things. But in truth, you're going to get your best flavor from just knowing how to properly cook it and a basic seasoning of salt. A lot of the time, all it takes is rethinking that protein. So rather than slow cooking a pork shoulder, which does have quite a bit of fat in it, if you wanted pulled pork barbecue, you can do the exact same thing with the back part of the animal, the ham, and that's about one third leaner than the shoulder is. And you'll end up with something that's an almost identical product, but with just a little bit less fat to it.
Now, do you have to prepare it differently?
No, not at all. They actually cook in almost the exact same amount of time. It's just a lesser known cut. Most of the time when we think of ham, we think of the stuff that you make a sandwich out of, sandwich meat. But in truth, the raw meat itself can cook just as well for barbecue, and a lot of places swear by it. There are a couple old-timey places that you wouldn't know it, but they actually use hams instead of shoulders.
So what do you go and ask for at the grocery store?
You would ask for fresh ham. It's funny, it's sort of a misnomer because ham means so many different things, but fresh ham implies the rear leg instead of the front leg, and as I said, it's about one-third less fat than the shoulder. But if you want it to be even leaner than that, obviously you look towards alternative proteins. I mean, barbecue chicken is a standby in this country, and it's one of those things that can be done, and especially if you're looking at something like a grass-fed or a grass-raised chicken, a pastured poultry, it's going to be much, much healthier for you, and it's not going to have nearly as much fat, but still pack a ton of flavor.
Okay, so go for the ham, the barbecue chicken.
Yeah, exactly. And then open up your boundaries and think about barbecue in a different way. Rather than just the super sweet, saucy sandwich, think about the flavors of barbecue and using those elements in other dishes. So whether that means a piece of smoked fish, something like swordfish or salmon does really well on the grill, and it can actually be slow cooked, similarly to barbecue, except it cooks in a fraction of the amount of time. But 15 or 20 minutes of smoke on a piece of fish will add a tremendous amount of, quote, meatiness to it, and kind of trick your palate into thinking of those same rich things. And it doesn't occur to you that it's fish, which is inherently lean.
Yeah, I would never think of that. Now, I know we can do the salmon on a cedar plank, but is that what you would suggest?
No, you can do it directly on the grill. The cedar plank is cool. That's a neat little trick. But honestly, just a fillet of salmon, or even better, if you're cooking for a group, why not do a whole side of salmon on the grill? It works really great. It stays really moist and juicy because obviously the less surface area available, the less likely it will dry out. And then once it's cooked through, it just flakes away from the skin and you get something that's really smoky, really nice, tons of flavor to it, and it doesn't need a sauce.
That sounds delicious, actually. And you mentioned these really sugary barbecue sauces.
Right.
What do you like to use as an alternative?
Well, you know, there's a lot of traditions to barbecue in this country. And one of the worst things that has ever happened, in my opinion, is the bottled barbecue sauce in the grocery store, because that's made everyone think that barbecue sauce has to be that syrupy, molasses-y, thick kind of concoction, and it doesn't have to be. In fact, the traditional barbecue for this area, for Georgia, is not sweet at all. It's more of a vinegary, peppery, spicy kind of sauce. And something like that has really almost no caloric value to it. It's meant more as a seasoning. And that's what's most important about any kind of sauce that you're using, is it's not meant to cover up what you're cooking. It's meant to complement the seasoning to it. So even if you like those sweet barbecue sauces, brush on one layer of it as a glaze right before it comes off the grill, instead of serving a puddle of it on top of it.
And I guess this is a good point. And I guess if you are also getting cooking the meats on the grill in a way that gives them more flavor, you don't need to cover it up. You'll lose that value.
Right, and that's the idea, is that learning to cook something properly, choosing really great stuff, seasoning, just basic salt, kosher salt or sea salt, really simplistically will draw out those natural flavors and rely on that smokiness of the grill. I mean, otherwise you just bake it in the oven. So think about that. That is really the flavor that you're shooting for, is the cookery of it, not the sauce that you're brushing on at the end. The sauce is kind of superfluous. I mean, yes, it makes a rack of ribs look really nice and shiny, but it's not necessary.
Okay. And do you care how they're grilling it? I mean, if they're charcoal or gas, or does it matter?
I
mean,
I think that if you can, if you have the time and you have the wherewithal, cooking over charcoal, or even better, cooking over hardwood, is going to produce the most flavor.
Hardwood. Okay. Good to know. Now, any other little small, easy changes we can make to kind of healthify our barbecue, but keep it delicious?
Well, you know, that's the other thing, is that during barbecue season, we have so many fresh vegetables that are amazing. Utilize that opportunity to put those alongside it. Throwing ears of corn on the grill while you're cooking something else is a no-brainer. I mean, it gives you a wonderfully delicious, flavorful side. But one of the other great things is fun is remember that the grill can be treated just like a stovetop, meaning you can put a saute pan on your grill and cook your veggies right there. So whether it's roasting green beans or sauteing some Swiss chard, doing it on the grill is going to bring just one more element of flavor to that, and you get to use all of your favorite fresh local veggies.
So I can literally put my pan on the grill.
Absolutely you can. I mean, honestly, if you go all the way back to sort of when we began cookery, we did everything over an open fire. So don't let that limit you. People think you have to use 3 or 4 or 5 different appliances, but in truth, a really great grill can be used to kind of do everything. It's an oven, it's a grill, it's a stovetop.
Spoken like a true male who find 85 uses for the grill.
I'm just trying to justify those giant grill purchases.
I know. I hope my husband is not listening to this one. Or our backyard.
I'll send him a message later.
So. Oh, excellent. Excellent. Well, you know, if he's cooking some of these recipes for me, then I won't argue.
Yeah, trade off.
When you're cooking, I mean, let's talk about the exact steps for someone's listening. Sure. To cook the corn, do you wrap it in foil or you just throw it on the grill?
The way I like to do corn on the cob is actually to take them husks still intact, just like you would buy them at the farmer's market. And I like to soak them in ice water for about an hour before you're ready to cook them. And then take that ear of corn, soaking wet, and throw it on the grill and just leave it. I mean, it will turn black, like jet black, all the way around the outside. But the beautiful thing is that built-in moisture is steaming the corn and keeping it from catching on fire. So when it's all said and done, when you pull back that husk, all of the corn silk and everything will fall off of it, and you'll have a perfectly steamed, crunchy ear of corn.
Okay, I'm going to try that.
And it takes about maybe 25 minutes or so.
Okay, good. It's always good to get the exact details.
Yeah, push them off to the side. They don't need to be sitting over the hottest part. Just leave them on there. That's one of those things that even if they go for 35 or 45 minutes, you're not going to overcook
an
air corn.
No, you can't harm them. Good to know. Okay, now tell me about this Pure Pork Awesomeness.
Pure Pork Awesomeness is my newest book, and obviously, as the name implies, it's all pork recipes. I love pork. Growing up in the South, that was sort of our protein of choice, and I wanted to write a book that showed people that pork isn't just fatty, it's delicious, it's got a lot of different opportunities. There are lean cuts, there are nutritious cuts, and frankly, the whole world has sort of their view on pork, and so it gives you a book that showcases the recipes of the whole world using one single protein.
Really? So it's not just local, but wide variety global
Well, that's
tastes.
The cool thing about Atlanta. Unique to Atlanta is the fact that we're a cosmopolitan world city, and so showing the cuisine of Asia and of Mexico and of other places in the world that still embrace pork is great, because it also gives you an opportunity to use what is currently the best value from a meat protein out there. Beef prices have skyrocketed, so has poultry. Pork has stayed pretty constant.
That's a really good point, too. Okay, now in our last 30 seconds, I want you to tell people about Gun Show, your restaurant here in Atlanta.
Gun Show is my restaurant here in Atlanta, daily changing menu. We call it modern American dim sum, meaning that you don't actually order anything. You come in and you sit down. Food comes out of the kitchen as it's ready, and it's brought to you by the person who prepared that. And he or she tells you exactly what it is. And if it sounds like something you might want, then you take it. And if you don't want it, you don't have to take it, and you only pay for what you take.
So it's like taking the chef's table to a whole new level.
Exactly. You get to actually talk to the person who made your food.
That sounds fascinating. I am going to check that out. Thank you so much for joining
us.
Again, that was Chef Kevin Gillespie. You can learn more at chefkevingillespie.com or follow him on Twitter at Top Chef Kevin, Instagram at Chef Kevin Gillespie, or Facebook as Chef Kevin Gillespie. And remember his new book, Pure Pork Awesomeness. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to Share Care Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.